Hi there, members, and welcome to this week's live session. Let's have a look at what we're going through today. I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to make sure I share the screen with the sound. There'll be something I'll play to you a bit later on. We go to our Trello board as always, and today's live session, we're going to be talking about hopefully the daily focus went well for you this past week. We've now completed stopping our four growth stoppers and making sure we've got systems in place to ensure that those potential growth stoppers don't exist in your practice anymore. So I hope you've really enjoyed the previous daily soap focus for the past month, because we've had one section, one growth stopper done every single week. What we're talking about today is I'm going to present to you a new goals achievement template that I have created. I had done previous ones, I'll remind you of those, but I've got a new one which I think is going to hopefully excite you. And we're going to go through your practice purpose and why it's important and how to develop it. First of all, I'm going to find my previous, I should have had it up for you already. If I can easily find the previous template that I had utilized for you. Then you can actually compare it and see how it has changed. Yes, here it is. I can unpause, resume the share. Okay, so the previous goals achievement chart looked a little bit like this. This concept is exactly the same. The layout is different, and how you can utilize it hopefully has got a few more bells and whistles to it. So we always start with a goal. So what are you trying to achieve? And then we move into strategies. So we identify one, two, three ways of achieving that goal. And then we move into action steps. So the things that are required to activate in order to get that strategy up and running. And it's always good to put a due date on things so we maintain a bit of momentum. And the example that I gave was the goal could be to get more new patients. And then you can look at your strategies as ask existing patients for referrals, and let's start some online online advertising campaign. The action steps that are required for these things, for the asking existing patients for referrals, let's identify a patient a day during the morning cuddle who will be asked to refer friends and family, and identify who will make the request, which member of the team are going to ask that patient for the referral. And for the online advertising campaign, for example, some of the actions might include organizing meetings with three different agencies, what three times can reps be brought in, decide on the focus of the campaign. Is it going to be a promotion on whitening? Are we talking about education around implants? Is it going to be a discount for cleanings? And we're going to discuss these things tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. And then the due date. So identifying a patient during the morning huddle, that's going to be done every single morning. This next step, that's going to be done by the 11th of May, and et cetera. And so that's what my previous template was. So it gives you a framework of what's required in order to get your goal first and then reverse engineer the steps that it requires to achieve that goal. This is what I've got for you now. I'm excited because I love it. I've just created it. So it's the goals, strategies, tasks template. Up the top here, we've got the goal. And across that top line there, keep in mind that the dark blue areas here are what we're currently focusing on within this worksheet, because down the bottom here, you'll see there's various worksheets underneath. So we're talking about the financial goal, and we can also have different types of goals. This particular document helps us identify five different goals. That's plenty for a practice to focus on in any given year, let me tell you. So with the goal in the gray bit over here, I talk to you about what I actually mean when I say let's write something in there for each particular goal. So identify a goal in relevant aspects of your practice, such as financial turnover, team culture, services offered, patient growth, expansion, and marketing. And this one, if you wanted to keep it as financial, you would keep it as financial, and you might say something such as increase turnover to $1 million, for example. I'll let you know on subsequent pages how to identify the next goals. For this particular goal, we're going to identify three strategies that we can put in place that will help us achieve that goal. Strategy number one, this is this worksheet. Strategy number two has its own worksheet. This will become clearer as we walk through it. So the strategy is identify three strategies that will help achieve that goal. Strategy number one could be increase fee list. Simple as that. And then we're going to look at the tasks that are required in order to activate that. Now, the task could be maybe only one thing. There could be three things that are required to activate that one particular strategy, or it could be five. Identify the tasks that each strategy need to be implemented. So what we need to do now is identify, I'm just going to move my keyboard a little bit so it's a bit easier to type. The mic is still there. So what we're going to do here is, in order to increase the fee list, what my mind would normally do is, well, I really need to get the owner's list of new fees. Are they going to just be across the board 1.5% increase? Usually no. Usually the owner does want to go through all of the item codes and do 1.5%, 2%, 3%, whatever you choose to do. It'd be generally an increase of that, but maybe you want to keep the crown fees the way they are, or the examination fees the way they are, the new patient consult fees the way they are. And so the first thing I want to do is print out current fee list. I might add that and hand to Dr. Dentist. Then I'm thinking about who's going to be accountable for that. That's going to be the receptionist. We can put people's name in here. And then the due date, well, that can be done really quickly. It's the 21st of October now. Let's just say by the 22nd, we want that fee list to be delivered. A second way, well, a second task that we need to do to make sure that this increased fee list happens is to follow up in a week to ensure fee list is, or modified fee list, is handed back. Again, that's going to be the receptionist that does that, and it's going to be a week later, so it's going to be done by the 27th of October. The third thing is adjust fees as directed in Dentaful Windows, for example. Again, this can be the receptionist that does this, and why not get started straight away on that. Once the fee list isn't been increased, implement it straight away. Let's get that done by the 28th. And another step that's probably a good idea is notify all staff of fee list changes. And we're going to do that via WhatsApp on the 28th of the 10th, 2020, and we'll keep all this as a receptionist task. Done. Don't need a fifth task for this one. We've got that set out. Now, how are we going to monitor if this method, this particular strategy of increasing the fee list, whether it is going to be successful or not? We want to keep track of the strategies we put in place over time to make sure it's actually doing what we want it to do. It's actually helping us achieve this goal of increasing the turnover to $1 million. This one's going to be easy. How will this strategy's progress be tracked? And I think just the Turnover report. So every dental software system has an account receipts report, a turnover report. It's usually generated monthly. And if this is the only thing we did without any other strategies, what we should see is a 3%, let's just say we were going to do a 3% increase of all the fees on average across the board. We should see a 3% increase in turnover quickly. Now, if we had put in a process, a strategy that had, for example, we're going to generate more new patients and we're going to do it through online advertising, you would not see an immediate reaction in all likelihood. This will have one increase impact straight away. There's other strategies that you're going to have to monitor month after month after month to see if there's a trend of improvement or a trend of staying the same or a trend in decline of any kind of growth. And that's where you can, through tracking as you go through, you can actually start saying, well, not seeing any difference with this new strategy. So we are, our starting point, for example, was 700,000. And then if we checked it after a month and we are at 700,000, we're like, okay, we haven't seen any impact as yet. And so this is where you can go, okay, do we modify our current method, our current strategy? Do we modify it in some way, or do we scrap it because it's not working and we try a different strategy? And so this is where tracking your progress is crucial. So up here, you detail exactly how you are going to be able to monitor progress. And then underneath here, tracking progress, note your current tracking results and then update every month or 3 months if you're going to be tracking it every quarter. It depends on the goal, to ensure progress is being achieved. If progress needs to improve, either modify the strategy or shift. Let me make that a little bit bigger. To a new strategy. So that is addressing the financial goal with strategy number one. And down the bottom here, that's where you can right click, because you all get a copy of this email, of this Excel template, so you can do your own. So you can rename that financial goal strategy one. Then we're going to go with rename financial goal strategy two. Let's remind ourselves what that goal was, and we've gone into strategy number two. As you can see now, number one is grayed out. Now we're looking at number two. So the second strategy we're going to do is increase patient acceptance of treatment plans. That's a second way that we can start to boost turnover. What are the tasks for this particular strategy? What do we need to implement? And I've got that in an example sheet, so I can go through those with you. Who's going to be accountable for each of these tasks? What's the due date for each of these tasks? What's the method of monitoring this progress? Well, the method of monitoring this progress could be decrease in incomplete treatments report. And the other way of monitoring progress with this particular strategy would be improvement to percentage in case acceptance rate on day sheet cross check So the day sheet cross check, for those of you who remember, the cross checking of the day sheet is when you print out a physical version of your day sheet every day as a practitioner. And then every day on that day sheet, you put a tick beside the patient's names who you have suggested treatment for. I'm not talking about recalls in 6 months' time, just those treatments that you have suggested. And then at the end of the day, you go back into those names quickly, just double check if they've made an appointment time, put a circle around your red tick if they have booked an appointment time. Often patients say, I have to go back and check my diary first, I can't book in just yet. So at the end of the month, before the monthly team meeting, go into all of those ticked ones and make sure that all the ones that booked an appointment time have a circle around them. Compare the figure of how many patients had treatment suggested to them, how many ticks, compared with how many circled ticks, so how many people actually booked in for that treatment, and you will get a treatment acceptance rate. So that is another very effective way of monitoring the progress of this particular strategy of increasing patient acceptance of treatment plans in order to help us achieve our goal of increasing turnover to $1 million. Down the bottom here, you can think, okay, let me look at the past month. If you've been doing the day sheet checking, you won't need to do a whole laborious task, but it's worthwhile getting a starting point to figure out whether the changes you're about to implement are going to be helpful towards getting to this goal. So what you want to do is look at the past month, how many patients did you see, which ones did you suggest treatment for, how many of them actually booked in. Get yourself your starting point. I had 65% case acceptance rate. And then after the month of implementing the tasks that you identify, did it increase? Got up to 72%. Things look good. Things look promising. We're on the right track. Let's continue on the way we are and continue monitoring. If it stayed the same, something's not going as planned, let's have a meeting, figure out where the barriers are, where the gaps are of making sure this strategy is going to work well. If we can't find anything really wrong with the strategy, maybe it's just not going to work for us, and so we'll flip to a new strategy. This particular strategy, though, is one that most people should be able to find improvement in. There's a little area here for notes, you know, to explainer notes or whatever. So you've got your bits and pieces there. Then you go to the next one, and that's going to be your financial goal type three. Sorry, your financial goal strategy number three. You can see there three is now active. One and two are darkened out, are grayed out. And then we go into the second type of goal. So the second type of goal is listed up there. Maybe that one is a team culture goal. How well the team are going to get along in the coming year, what system or coming months, what systems can we put in place, what strategies can we implement in order to improve, gain improvement and success in this area. So same thing, everything else is grayed out. That one, change it to whatever goal you have. Activate three different one, two, and three strategies. Identify the tasks that are required in order to address that strategy. Make someone accountable for it. Give them a due date to get progress done by. Figure out what method of monitoring you're going to be using to ensure you know you're on the path for success, and track your progress. So figure out where you are right now, and then updated figure, updated figure, updated figure. As I say, that could be a week later, a month later, a quarter later. It depends on your figure, on your goal, and so on and so forth. So you've got enough work pages there to have five goals for a whole year and three strategies for every goal. So 15 work pages there. Now, back at the start, I'm just going to go use this as an example page. If you get stuck on where to go with this information, use this example page. So here I've got the increased turnover annually to $1 million. I've done the improved patient treatment acceptance rate as our first strategy that we're going to investigate. To give you an example of the type of tasks that you may list in this area, first of all, we're going to lengthen patient consults to 1 hour to better engage and explain treatments to patients. Another way we're going that we've brilliantly thought of in our brainstorming session during our team meeting, that we can do to improve patient acceptance rate of treatment is we're going to prepare treatment brochures, payment plans, and explanation documents to hand to the patient. So quite often we don't provide all this information to the patient because we don't know where it is. We hardly ever use it. Do I have to print it off again? Oh, look, I'll send it out to them. Oh, look, I think they understood what I was talking about. And I'll let them know there's a payment plan available. That'll be enough. If they're interested, they'll ask me for more information. What you want to do is send a patient out with all the information they need to go away and properly assess if this particular treatment plan solution is going to be the best for them. You want to be able to give them everything they need to go home to a partner and explain, you know, somebody else that has a say in how the money is spent in that household. This is what I need. This is the solution that they've offered me. Let's make a family decision around this. I've got all the information right here in front of me. So let's make sure we're supporting all of our patient engagement and education we're delivering in the surgery with a whole bunch of written stuff to take home with themselves. And any of you who have been on this club journey with me for a while will know that I've given a couple of examples in the past of patients that seemingly understand everything that's being said. They're giving you all the indications, gestures, and talk of, yes, I understand what you're saying. And then they leave and they ask a question that indicates they didn't understand at all. And so people will be polite. So it is really crucial if you want to increase your patient acceptance rate, remove confusion as a reason they may not be booking in, and provide a whole bunch of additional information for them. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to start to diarise and follow up these patients if they don't book in. So maybe after 2 weeks, let's decide as a group, after 2 weeks of thinking about this particular treatment option as a solution for their oral condition, let's give them a ring and say, now remember we had that issue and I explained that. Do you have any questions? Is there anything that you want to discuss? Are you clear about all the bits and pieces? Did you want to book in for that treatment? And then if they don't book in for that, say no problems at all. And then maybe 6 weeks from the original consult, we're going to send them an incomplete treatment letter. And if you want some examples of some great incomplete treatment letters, go into the free downloads area of the website and also within the download section on the Club Hub page as well. And you'll see the incomplete treatment letters that I've drafted. And then maybe if they still don't book in, we're going to call them 3 months from the consult and just remind them that it is important that these conditions don't get better by themselves, and you've got the option now. You can either book in and get that done now, or I'll pop you into the recall system. We'll contact you in another 3 months and you can pop back in for a general checkup and clean. We can assess how things are going then. Put somebody accountable for each of these items, put in a due date, and then the method of monitoring progress. I'm just going to see if anybody has any questions around that so far. Please do put questions in place if you have any. But I think that is, as I love it when Charles uses this word, elegant. I think that is a much more elegant way of tracking your goals, putting in place strategies, and then stepping through the process that you need to do in order to make sure those strategies are put in place. I hope that you find that helpful. You will be able to find within the card on today's Trello board, you will be able to find the Excel document right there. And later on in the Club Hub, I'm going to make sure I put it in the download section as well. And if you're watching this on replay through the Thinkific, it'll be listed there as well. So you won't miss it. If you do, email me and I will email it directly through to you. Goals achievement usually does stop when partway through this journey, when we all know what we're doing, but no one's actually been flagged as responsible for it. So everyone thinks everyone else is going to look after it, or someone else is going to look after it. Or we say, great strategies. We've got all these strategies. We've spoken about them. We've agreed upon them as a team. But then the minute we need to activate it, we're like, oh, yes, I was supposed to get all those brochures together. I'm so sorry, dentist. I haven't got them here in front of me at the moment. So there's always fall down. So if you go through this whole process for each of your goals and each of your strategies, and then you have your monthly staff meetings to make sure you're checking in, making sure due dates are being met and that this tracking of progress is being achieved, then you will be able to more easily meet your goals. clicking back into the live session today, I'm going to tick that one off. And now your practice purpose. I have been talking about practice purpose with a newish client of mine. They've been around for maybe a month. And the confusion around vision and mission statements and purpose and all the rest of it, it's really an interesting space, because sometimes we create these documents. This is our team culture. This is our mission statement. These are our values. This is our vision. And we go through the process of doing these things, and we're just kind of writing a statement to have it. We certainly believe in the words that are being written, but they're not kind of live and active within the practice itself. It's just a process to go through, something to put on an A4 piece of paper, laminate it, and whack it up on the wall. The purpose behind your practice can play an enormously impactful role in many other decisions of your practice. And so as we go through my PowerPoint presentation, we'll be talking more about that. So I've got a little video as part of it. So let me go start from the start. Let's go to the, I have it in a shared screen. It's easier if you can actually see what I'm talking about, I found. Share screen. Finding your practice purpose. So why is purpose important? So I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine, Shannon Merlo. She's a colleague in business, not in dental, but in business. We're just starting a new podcast together, and we're just going to do, you know, done is better than perfect kind of thing. So the practice, the business podcast is called Practicing the Art of Small Business. And it's really designed for people who are working within a small business and those who own a small business as well. Just moving through all the challenges, both normal challenges such as how to market, how to establish goals and achieve those goals, how to be a good leader, but also the self-awareness journey as well. There's a lot of mindset attachment that we have with the results that we generate from all the work that we do as business owners. And so that self-awareness journey is an important one to go on, because that can help improve your happiness and satisfaction that you feel with all the work that you do. And when we were talking a bit about purpose today, Shannon reminded me of Simon Sinek's discussion around finding the why of why you do the things that you do, why your team are there, why that business is there delivering these goods or services to their clients. And she said it talks more about that it's not so much that clients will buy what you do, they'll buy into why you do it. And I think that's a nice difference between vision and purpose. Vision is what you do. What you do is your dental practice, the type of dental practice you have decided to operate, and the type of patients you've decided to see, and the type of team you've decided to employ. The why you do it is the purpose. Why you do anything in life, if it has great meaning, it will generate great motivation and inspiration. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Pardon me, get a sip of water. And so the purpose is not only important for the business owner or the business managers, but it's crucial for everybody else in the team as well. And there was a book by Daniel Pink called Drive, and he identified his formula for motivating employees. And he identified that we have three main drivers as human beings. These are autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Autonomy is this innate desire to be self-directed. Pardon me. Mastery is people want to get better at what they do. And purpose is we want to work towards a purpose, something that is greater than ourselves. With purpose being one of the three main drivers that motivate us into action as individuals, how crucial is it for your team members to be purpose-filled and understand what the purpose is for your team? I'm just going to cough again, but I'm going to. I'm going to turn video off and mute it for a second. crazy. Okay, let's get back into action again. That's what happens when it's all live, isn't it? So this is why purpose is a crucial, can become a crucial step in the management of your, I'm not quite sure why I clicked that one over by accident. That will go away in a minute. So why purpose is crucial for your team members to remain motivated, but also what about new team members coming on board? If you, and we're going to be going through the things that make up your purpose in your practice, if they are aligned with the things that you see as purpose for your practice, if they're the things that also excite them as well, then you're making a successful hire. If they hit all the marks, they've got the skill sets, they've got the character and everything else like that, and you say to them, our purpose here is to create a calming environment for patients to be alleviated of all their dental anxieties. Does that excite you? And they say, that's okay, but what really excites me is to really contribute to growing a business to be bigger and more powerful than any other practice in the area. Two great visions, two great purposes, but they're just not aligned. And so I think the identification of purpose can be very helpful in terms of hiring people in the future, but also in the delivery of service and the kind of systems that you make up. So if we've got the system, if we're very clear about purpose, our purpose is all about relaxing patients. That's one of our main purposes here. And you've got systems in place that are not in alignment with that purpose, then there's going to be a disconnect, an inconsistency for your patients. And also, so when you start to identify new systems that you need to put in place or modification of existing systems to put in place, when you come from that very clear purpose, well, this is our purpose, remember, this is the ultimate goal, then all of a sudden making those decisions around the systems and modifying those systems to be something different, the way that system is supposed to run out becomes much more obvious because you are starting with the goal in mind, the end in mind. So I want to play you this video that it only goes for 3 minutes, and I played it earlier today as I was driving around the place, and it was great. It helped align my mind around the value of understanding purpose. But he's, as Anthony Robbins says at the start, we sometimes think our purpose needs to be this enormous life-changing thing for the whole of humanity, and we can get lost in that pathway. But have a little watch and see what you think.
When there's something that's so deep inside of you that needs to be expressed, that you have to find a way, and there's enough hunger and drive that is, I'd say, consistent enough and powerful enough to push through any obstacle you can imagine, that's pure passion. And I think you can't separate the two. Most people, if they find what they're most passionate about, they can find their purpose. The problem is, many of us think our purpose has to be this giant thing, change the entire earth simultaneously, all humans are happy because of me. Sometimes the purpose is something really just simple and beautiful, like raising your children to really be totally alive and feel the love and joy that they deserve to have every single day, and for you to do the same. I really believe a big part of my passion, my purpose, is to end suffering for people. So many successful people, people that are the most successful in the world, they call me and they're multi-billionaires, they've got 3 Grammys, they've got the world on fire, and yet they suffer. They feel this sense of frustration or anger, or overwhelm or stress. And so one of the things that I've found is that if you can take back control and reconnect to your purpose, the thing that's about something larger than yourself, not only do you have passion, but you're out of pain, you're out of suffering. You might have to deal with challenges, but it's a different world. And so my real joy, my real excitement, my real passion is having people really be able to say, I can end suffering and I can experience a magnificent life today, not just someday when I've lived a perfect purpose. And I think the trap that people have in the world we live in is trying to make a purpose feel so powerful on a cultural scale instead of finding that powerful purpose in this moment. There's lots of possible purposes for us. This idea there's only one purpose, there's only one human you're ever going to meet that you're going to love. I just don't think those things are really true. I think they're cultural conditioning. And I think if you can see there's multiple purposes in my life, at different stages, my life may serve different things. But really, when I find something that is I'm passionate about, that's larger than myself, that's when you're going to have the kind of drive and the power and the energy and the excitement and the persistence and the creativity that's going to cause you to succeed on a scale larger than most people ever dream about. To be able to execute, to be able to enjoy, to be able to produce the result as fast as you possibly can comes from finding more fulfillment in this moment, not just some moment in the future. Making sure that the emotions that drive you most, the courage, the determination, the boldness, the playfulness, the fun, the caring, are the primary emotions that you drive into your nervous system as opposed to what most people experience, which is fear, stress, uncertainty, disappointment, loneliness, depression, anger, frustration. And we really can train ourselves to be in a better place. And that's how you overcome any obstacle. You use those incredible, unlimited human emotions to find the answers.
How inspiring, isn't it? It really does drive home that when we're working towards a purpose, when we're working towards something that's absolutely meaningful in our lives, then we've got the energy, we've got the drive, the passion, the creativity, and the commitment to be able to execute what we need to execute in order to achieve that purpose. So hopefully you can get on board with, let's start talking about purpose within our practice. So the purpose within your practice could be various different things. I've just put it through a couple of examples. It could be team focused to create an environment of support, growth, and inclusion. And as I said earlier in the recording of this podcast, that for me, when I owned my practice for 10 years, my purpose, it was not really identified at the very start. I knew what I wanted to do, but it does actually evolve and change over time. So don't feel this pressure also of making sure that that purpose is going to live on forever. It may not be designed to live on forever. It's great for now. But allow yourself that flexibility so it evolves and morphs and changes as you evolve, morph, and change. So it can be a team-focused. It can be business-focused to become the largest practice in the region. It could be patient-focused and be something like to help patients look better, function better, feel better, and have greater peace of mind. That one's from Sandy Roth. I love that as a purpose. It could be to help patients be healthier. It could be to provide patients with positive dental experiences. There's practices out there that their purpose is to have the latest technology. So it could be all sorts of things and just cosmetics. And so we're just there to make people look better and therefore feel better. And once you have start the discussion around practice purpose, I want you to put so much meat on the bones that it excites everyone. Everyone's really clear of what impact you can have within your purpose on the team, the patients, or the business itself. So I've given you some examples of how to put meat on the bones. So load up your purpose. For a team-focused purpose to create an environment of support, growth, and inclusion, that's quite often where it stops. This is our purpose. We've got it up on the wall. This. But what does that actually mean? How does that play out in people's lives? And this is where it gets really exciting, the kind of impact that you can have on another human being just by doing this thing. So the extended effects are, if people are working in an environment of support, growth, and inclusion, people become better than they thought possible. That's glorious. Because they're working in your environment, because they feel so supported, because their growth is encouraged through team training and individual training, and because there's such a sense of inclusion, you're part of this tribe, you're welcome, you're here, you're protected and safe. They are now free to become better than they ever thought possible. You think of all the things that come from that, that they're improving, progressing, becoming wiser and more skilled. Negative beliefs around working teams have shifted to positive. How often have you heard these generalized statements that all dentists expect their employees to work for peanuts, or all practices of this, or all teams of that? So you're playing an active role in shifting their beliefs around what it means to work in a team. You are teaching people how to be effective leaders, because if you're in this kind of supportive and growth environment, then you are going to be exhibiting great leadership, and you are teaching them through observation what it means to be a great leader, what to do to be an effective leader. People go home, so the team members go home happier and more satisfied with their working efforts, therefore creating happier home environments for their families. How beautiful. Who would have thought that up here in Team Focus, one of the ramifications of what you're creating is making happier families? Amazing. Hopes, dreams, and aspirations feel achievable. You've got somebody who is being supported and encouraged to learn and improve in a safe environment. They start getting better and better and better. They start to feel more empowered, and all of a sudden, the hopes and dreams they once had a few years ago about what they wanted to do in life, they seem achievable because I'm progressing. I'm getting better all the time. Why aren't my hopes and dreams achievable? Of course they are. Stronger mindset leads to improvements in other areas of life. When one area of your life improves and you feel empowered, it doesn't stop there. You've got a whole life. You move through that life yourself in all of these different aspects. Of course, those different elements, your spirituality, your physical health, your relationships, your intimate other, all of these things will improve as well. This is a huge impact. Just creating this environment for your team is having this enormous impact. Getting better at work inspires people to become healthier physically. People are getting healthier. Teach people how to practice effective communication, therefore leading to improved relationships outside of work. All of a sudden, they're not feeling frustrated because that person's taking advantage of me, or this person's always yelling at me and I haven't been able to say, hey, stop. They are being taught how to have effective communication with another human being, and they carry that into other relationships in their lives as well, and they start to improve as well. So you look at purpose. Our purpose as a practice here is to create an environment of support, growth, and inclusion. It's also what part of our purpose is to improve the happiness of homes, to improve someone's ability to achieve their goals, to help people become better leaders. That's putting meat on the bones. That's making the purpose even more meaningful. This is worth turning up to work for as a boss and as an employee. So let's shift it to business focus to become the largest practice in the region. Also an admirable goal. An admirable vision, an admirable purpose. The extended effects of this are, so we can provide dental services to a larger section of the community. So we don't just want to be the biggest. We want to have a resounding impact on the oral health of the whole community. So we're building a place where we're going to be able to do that. Meaningful. The size allows for the establishment of a traineeship program. We are so big, we have 50 employees, which allows us to be able to have a traineeship program. So young people, 17, 18 years of age that haven't done well in school, for example, we've got the dental assistant training program here for them. Most of our dental assistants either stay here for years and years, or they go on to do further learning or different careers, but they're always improving. And we are playing a vital role in helping that person understand how to be a great employee and how to create a great team environment. Able to offer lower fees for service. So if you say, we just want to be the biggest, some people go, oh, that doesn't sound very meaningful. But we want to have a larger section of the community be able to afford dental treatment. And it's through our size that we're able to keep our fees low. That's meaningful. Greater choice of practitioner for patients. Increased budget for marketing and promotions. Increased number of services offered to patients. All of a sudden, we've got 20 practitioners. We select each one carefully. They are all general practitioners, but each one of them have a special interest in ortho, endo, implants, oral surgery, staff have more varied responsibilities and choices for roles. Unlike a small group practice, which has two dentists and half a dozen team members, where if you're the receptionist and you want to go somewhere else, go further to the side, wherever, in terms of role, there's nowhere to go. But we have become the largest practice in the region, and one of the wonderful reasons why we did that was because we can encourage and expose our team members to greater levels of mastery, different roles within the business, head of clinical operations, bookkeeping, leadership, particularly part of our leadership team. So there's space to grow within a larger organisation that you just can't get with a smaller organisation. That's why we want to be the largest practice in the region, not just to dominate everybody or not to dominate everybody, but to create this environment for our patients and for our team members. Greater access to funding for large-scale improvements in technology. Because we're the largest practice in the region, all of the funding companies love and look for chances to give us funding. That allows us to constantly keep on top of technology, to constantly make sure that everyone within the team is being properly supported in terms of courses, webinars, on learning. We've got more and more room to grow, so we can add on a laboratory, we can add on a this, add on a that, and just get better and better and better. Many of our purposes are patient focused, and so the three that I mentioned at the start, let's go through each one of those so we can put meat on the bones of the patient focused purpose. So many will say, we want to help patients look better, function better, feel better, and have greater peace of mind. It's a wonderful purpose. It's a noble purpose, like all of them are. Let's get that meat on the bones. The extended effects of this are increased confidence in the appearance of the patient leads to better job prospects and earning potential, because they're coming into all this with an empowered sense of self-confidence that the employers never saw before. This guy's a dynamo, my God. Yeah, give him the promotion. Look at him. He presents so well. He's confident. He knows he's got it. Better job prospects. Hire that person. They were really confident in their own abilities. They can attract better partners. They're putting a better version of them, a more confident version of themselves out there, so they're attracting better partners. Greater care in attire and how one carries themselves. How often, if you buy a new suit, a new outfit and wear it, you then hold yourself better, taller, you've got a stronger presence. I think a bit of dust got into my throat. I'm so sorry. No longer do you avoid having photos taken or keep your mouth to the side when you're having photos taken. That's a big one with anybody who's concerned about aesthetics and their mouth. One of the common things they do say is, I hate having photos taken of myself. All of a sudden, they're the laugh of the party. Better function leads to improved digestion. We're helping people in their digestion. You would not normally have thought that, but you are. Better function improves dietary options. Now you can have the steak. You can have all the other bits and pieces that you had to stop having because you were missing some teeth. Now you've got your full complement of teeth. You can enjoy a whole range of different foods. Improved oral health leads to better management of systemic health conditions such as diabetes and helps people live longer. What do you do? What's your purpose at your practice? It's to help patients look better, feel better, function better, and have greater peace of mind. You know what we really do? We help people get better jobs. We help people earn more money. The stuff that we do, the changes we assist in making with patients, helps them to better manage other conditions such as diabetes and stroke. It's impactful. You load that purpose up so it becomes such a meaningful reason to turn up to work every day, such a meaningful reason to treat your patients every day. With the purpose of to help patients be healthier, it's a common one. We just help patients to be healthier. But what does it actually mean? Extended effects are They live a longer life, so their family enjoys their loved one for longer. It's glorious. It's glorious. The patient has longer time to achieve their goals, learn new things, and enjoy life, giving them longer life. Avoid other health conditions from appearing due to poor health, such as respiratory and circulatory conditions. Reduce medications, therefore they don't suffer pharmaceutical side effects. Longer capacity to work and maintain or grow a higher standard of living. And so when you are recognizing that in order for a patient to be healthier, what impact is improving their oral condition, replacing missing teeth, improving the aesthetics of their, and they're becoming healthier in their mind, more confident, more self-assured, more empowered. You're healthy, making sure that they've got a strong dentition so they can eat healthy foods, digest healthy foods, and not have other areas of their system lacking because of their poor dentition. You're helping patients get rid of periodontal problems and all the other issues that come with a decaying, rotting down dentition. And all of a sudden, their stroke complications, their diabetic complications aren't there anymore. And so their systems are becoming healthier. They are living longer. They are able to continue earning money to maintain their lifestyle. They are able to avoid other health issues because they're not slowly getting sicker and sicker. Now they're maintaining a certain level of health. You help patients to avoid feeling a burden to their loved ones. This is a generational thing where some people just dread the thought of ever getting old, so old that they can't look after themselves, and therefore they're a burden to their loved ones. But you help avoid all that. You help patients wake up every morning with enthusiasm and energy because that's what happens when you're healthier. And save money that is normally spent on poor health. They've got all that money for themselves. All the money that they would normally be spending on medications for diabetes and heart conditions and all the rest of it. Doctor's visits over and over again. Special supplements to make up for the lost nutrition of a bad diet because you haven't got enough teeth to eat a proper diet. Save all that money and spend it on achieving your goals, learning new things and enjoying life, a longer life that you're having because you're going to a dentist who has this purpose. What about to provide patients with a positive dental experience? That's a great purpose. And you say to a potential new staff member, what do you think about this purpose? Does it resonate with you? And they go, yeah, sure, that sounds good. And then you say, so what that means for us is we help to reduce anxiety for patients, one of the biggest mental health issues that we have. We help reduce it. We transform patient experiences to where they enjoy and feel empowered to visit the dentist. No longer do they dread it for days and weeks before every appointment time. Now they look forward to it. They feel empowered and strong because of that. Our patients contribute to others by providing a recommendation to attend your practice. So you're giving them the ability to have that same positive impact into another person's life. Somebody else who might be terrified of going to the dentist, let me help you. I know where you can go. That's a wonderful feeling to be able to assist somebody in such a way. Patients benefit from feeling cared for and supported through their dental visits. You really are providing, at this practice, we're really providing a caring, nurturing environment. They're like a special guest that comes into our home that we just want them to be totally comfortable. We remove phobia as a barrier to receiving regular and needed oral care. So we really are shifting beliefs, negative beliefs around dental care. Patients become more responsible and eager for their oral health management to where it is now a well-managed aspect of their overall health. Whereas in the past, they felt constantly guilty that they were neglecting their oral health. We help patients go through a journey with us so then they can feel a sense of pride over their oral health, a sense of control over their oral health. With the renewed confidence in themselves and addressing health concerns, patients now go and actively seek how to have these wonderful feelings around their oral health and their sense of responsibility that they have over that and the benefits you get from that. They want to have more of that. And so they're going to go make sure their eyes are checked, make sure their skin is checked for moles, make sure that their heart is checked. So you can really, I'm just going to stop that share there. You can really put so much meaning behind the purpose of your practice, no matter what the purpose of your practice is. This is another great brainstorming session to have with your team. Get everyone together. Agree what your purpose is. Is it more team-based? Is it business-based? Is it patient-based? It might be all three. And then say, let's get that meat on the bones. Let's really extrapolate out that purpose and find deeper, deeper meaning of why we all turn up every day. The sense of pride and accomplishment that you will have waking up every morning, it's not going to be Groundhog Day. You never get Groundhog Day when you're having such a positive impact on so many people's lives. So purpose can be a wonderfully empowering, motivating, inspiring process to go through with your team. Write all of these purposes up. Put them on the surgery, on the staff room walls. Remind yourself of a couple at every morning huddle. Remember why we're here? This is another couple of reasons why we're here. Oh, I've got another one. Let's add that one to the list. And you're constantly surrounded by a reminder of the true impact your practice is actually having on the people that move through it. I hope I've inspired you to tackle purpose that is going to be the daily focus for this week, to start listing down all of the wonderful reasons, the wonderful impacts that you should wake up with great enthusiasm every day, because look at what we achieve here. Look at the impact that we have. It's glorious. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm going to do a quick screen share again. We're going to tick off that video of Anthony Robbins as well. That will be added to, so you can play that to your whole team if you wish. It's great. The thing, people who do editing and put motivational music and meaningful music behind these messages, it's wonderful. It gives you a bit of a, whew, listen to that every morning before you go to work. It'd be fantastic. We no longer have that as top priority. We've finished that for today. We've ticked it off as complete. Your practice purpose, daily focus, look out for that tomorrow. And we're going to be dragging the live session over to our completed column. Our next session, live session number 39, let me know if you've got any particular agenda item that you'd like covered, any particular topic that you'd like covered. I'd love hearing what people are moving through and providing whatever assistance that I can. But until then, I look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful evening. See you later.